Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service. Welcome also to those that are listening on the phone, those that are listening to the recording, and those that are here in the room. Glad to have you all in fellowship once again. A couple announcements before we get into our service. Thank you so much for your prayers. I was able to make it back home without any problem whatsoever. I brought Peaches, my cat, with me. And before I left, my mom had a special prayer that Peaches would be able to make the trip without much complaining. If you remember when I brought her back in March, it was about a 19-hour trip. I had to take a different route because of roads being closed for snowfall. And probably 16 of those hours, Peaches was complaining every bit of the time. She was scared of the car, scared of every turn that I had to make or put the brakes on or whatever. And I only had like 3 hours of peace and quiet. But coming back this time, God did indeed hear and answer prayers, because the first hour and a half was pretty much complaints. And it took me about 15 hours. The roads were all open, praise the Lord. And there was only about 3 hours of complaining and 12 hours of peace. So, amen, God is able. One difference was I had Peaches on the floor in the back seat floor, where I could reach her with my hand, but she really couldn't see me. And the second time I put her on the back seat to where she could see me driving, and I could still reach her and be able to pet her. And that may have made the difference, but God does indeed hear and answer prayer. And it was kind of funny because she was so quiet, I had to look back to see if, you know, she didn't have a seizure or something like that, and was out of it. And when I turned back, she was laying down, but as soon as she saw me look at her, her head goes doink, and she was focused right at me, and she'd start to meow again. So I just assured that everything was okay. I'd put my fingers through the cage, had her in a little car carrier, and she'd quiet back down. So she was able to see me. But as soon as I'd look at her, she knew I was paying her attention, and then she'd start, you know, becoming active again. So I didn't look at her too much because I love the peace and the quiet. But we made it back home, and now we're going to get everything prepared for our precious mother to move here with us. We're looking towards the 1st of October for that. So please keep that whole situation in prayer. There's a lot that still needs to be done, but day by day. Yeah, amen. A comment in the room says, there is a thunderstorm going on right now, and my dogs get scared and are all hiding under a blanket whimpering. I prayed, and the Lord put them to sleep. That's fantastic. I know dogs don't like thunder. They don't understand why, but why there's such loud booms and rumbles. But praise God for putting them to sleep. It's one of the best ways to go through a thunder and lightning storm. But I like to watch them. The next announcement is that lightministry.com, Peaches is my cat. Well, our cat. Michelle chose her. She fell in love with Michelle And then she ended up falling in love with me. So she's become my cat now. And thank you, honey. Let There Be Light Ministries. Lightministry.com is still offline. It's been offline since June 15, so almost 2 months. Nothing that the techs can do fixes the problem. Nothing that the engineers can do fixes the problem. And so that leads me to believe that they don't want the problem to be fixed. They don't like the material that is found in lightministry.com. And so they don't want it to be repaired and to go online. And so I've transferred the domain lightministry.com to this particular registrar. They haven't solved the problem in almost 2 months. I have to wait 60 days by the domain laws, the ICANN, before I can transfer it to a different registrar. That 60 days will be up in 4 days. So August the 16th will be 60 days. So I'm then going to transfer the lightministry.com to a different registrar. And Lord willing, that will solve the problem and be able to get lightministry.com back online. So please keep that situation in prayer, that the new registrar I transfer it to will not have any problem with the material that's on the website, may not care for it, but they won't try and prevent it from going online. And the problems will be solved. I've tried to redirect lightministry.com to lettherebelightministries.com, which does work. It is online, although not fully online. And the company came back and says that redirecting it was unsuccessful. And redirecting means when someone clicks on lightministry.com, it will then send them to whatever it's redirected. So lettherebelightministry.com. So that way, everyone that clicks on lightministry.com will still get to the website. It will just be under a different domain name. But they came back and said that was unsuccessful. Why would it be unsuccessful? Why won't it redirect, you know? So it leads me to believe that they don't want it to redirect. They want to keep the website offline. And so I'm going to be transferring the domain name to a different registrar. And Lord willing, the new registrar will not have the same problems. And then lightministry.com will be up soon, hopefully before next Sabbath. So thank you so much for your prayers in this. And it's been a trial. It's been an adventure, put it that way. And I would have never been able to communicate with so many different individuals if these problems had not occurred. So there is a silver lining, and God is in control. The other thing I wanted to share with you is we have tried several different ways to get email communication restored. every way that we've tried has been unsuccessful. Since lightministry.com is offline, then emails at lightministry.com aren't working. With lettherebelightministry.com and ltblministries.com, the things we've tried to utilize to get email communication restored have failed. So it may be just as simple as one little character in the wrong place that prevents the sending and receiving. We still haven't been able to find that one character to change. So Lord willing, when the domain is sent to a different registrar and that process goes through, it can take up to 15 days. Or it can take as little as a day, you know. It just depends. That we'll be able to get email communication restored. The only email that works is ltblmin@outlook.com. So ltblmin@outlook.com. That is just a temporary email. They have already suspended the account due to what they claim to be suspicious activity, and then they restored it a day and a half later. So it's just a temporary means in which you can communicate to me through email. So again, ltblmin@outlook.com. So those are the announcements I wanted to share. And again, thank you so much for your prayers and support through all of this. It has been extremely helpful to me. Our opening song is "The Bible Stands." Praise God, His Word is everlasting. The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth, eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on the firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By its generation it has been given all its prayers, as I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands every test we give it, for its altar is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation for the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. If you stand upon the foundation of truth, then you'll stand forever. You will not fall. May we indeed take our place upon the rock Christ Jesus and be able to live with him forevermore. We're going to be digging more into the Bible and into various aspects of this theme on the gift of tongues in our sermon today. Praise God for his word of truth that we can stand upon. But first, please join with me in opening prayer. Father, thank you so very much for granting us the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, for giving us the grace and the strength to have our feet solidly placed upon him and the path that he leads us to tread. Thank you also for pouring your spirit upon us that we might understand this inspired word of yours and to rightly interpret it, that the truth may shine that much more clearly and be embraced that much more fully and be lived that much more completely. Thank you for making this plan of salvation so readily accepted and acceptable and easy to understand. Even a child can understand and accept Jesus as their Savior and be saved. Thank you so very much, dear Father, for thy great love and for providing Jesus as a free gift. We just have to choose and give him our whole heart. And our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our feet are placed upon the solid rock. And we're given grace and strength to follow the truth, to follow our Savior, and to advance in that upward, narrow, straight path that leads to salvation. We thank you for being with us. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit will also continue to be with us, especially as we investigate into this truth on the gift of tongues. And Spirit, help us to clearly distinguish between the true gift versus the counterfeit. Between tongues that comes from the Holy Spirit versus tongues that come from the evil spirit. And dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you will remove all barriers that prevent us from understanding the difference. Take away all preconceived ideas, beliefs, opinions, commandments of men, teachings of the church. And allow us to plainly see the clear, thus saith the Lord, the plain it is written, so that we might indeed be standing upon the Bible and not upon any other foundation. We want our feet on the solid rock, not upon shifting sand. So please, Spirit, allow the truth alone, as it is in Jesus, to be seen and understood by us. And give us the grace, the strength, and the courage to say no to the so-called wisdom of men or churches, and reject them, and to say yes to the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and follow it. Pray that you'll be with those who were unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath blessing and bring them back into fellowship soon. Savior, be with all of those who are hungering and thirsting to want to know, and allow them to understand. Fill them to the full and even to overflowing, that they may benefit others with their newfound knowledge. And please also deliver those that are looking to thee for help, for healing, for comfort and compassion, for deliverance from trials, from sickness, from sorrow, from pain, from suffering, from persecution, from whatever it may be. And thank you for being such a wonderful, loving, and compassionate, merciful deliverer and savior. So we thank you, dear Father and Savior and Spirit, for being abiding guests with us and for blessing our time in the Word of Life. And for enabling us to grow in knowledge as we strive to be more like our Savior, the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is part two in our series on the gift of tongues, and this is the last part in this series. And we learned last time that the Bible mentions that there were three different occurrences over a 20-year period in which the true gift of tongues was given to God's people. And we then examined these three different experiences, and we saw that the manifestation of the Holy Spirit was that the true gift of tongues was not in vain babbling or in gibberish being spoken, that it was not a language that no one could understand, or that it had to be deciphered by the hearers before they could comprehend it. But in all three instances, the tongues were a foreign language that was being spoken, in which individuals could clearly understand what was being spoken, and that it was given for the purpose of spreading the gospel. But we also discovered that not only can God give the miraculous gift of speaking in other languages, but the devil can also cause people to speak in other languages. So this meant that there was a true gift of tongue speaking, and then there is a false gift of tongue speaking. So there's the true gift of God, and then there's the counterfeit gift from the devil. We then began examining the type of tongue speaking that was taking place among the believers in the church of Corinth. And we learned that Paul was actually rebuking and chastising these Corinthian believers because they had allowed a counterfeit tongue speaking to come into the midst of their church and fellowship. So when you look in Corinthians, Paul was not teaching there that this counterfeit gift of tongues was something that we should desire. He was not saying that we should speak without understanding, or that we should speak in a babbling or gibberish language that no one could understand, thus no one could be benefited by. But Paul was trying to keep this false type of tongue speaking from continuing to be a problem in the church. And so he emphasized to them that the main purpose of tongues was a sign not to those who already believed the gospel, but for those who were not yet believing the gospel. So tongues was mainly for unbelievers, that they could be led to the gospel. It was not for believers that were already in the gospel. So when following this counsel, tongues would become a divine sign to unbelievers as to who was really proclaiming the true gospel. Now, the incident that's recorded in Acts 2 is the first time that the true gift of tongues was recorded. But this was not the very first time that a miraculous gift of tongues had ever been spoken. And we'll learn more about the very first time the gift of tongues was spoken. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com when it's back up, or ltblministries.com, as is currently up and running now, /id1304.htm. You can also find it at lettherebelightministries.com. And if you look at quote number one, For many centuries before the true gift of tongues was first given after the ascension of Jesus, a miraculous gift of tongues had been observed and historically recorded in the record books of this earth's history. And the first historical evidence of miraculously speaking in tongues was among the Babylonian prophets. The male prophets in Babylon were called Mahu, M-A-A-H-U, and the female prophetesses were called Muhutu. And you can find the reference for that material. And the Babylonian word Mahu or Mahutu means ecstatic. And it's derived from the word Mahu, which means to become crazy or to go into a frenzy. So the prophets in Babylon were called Mahu or Mahutu, depending on whether they were male or female. And this word is derived from ecstatic, and it means to become crazy. So when these Babylonian prophets or prophetesses were spontaneously under the direct influence or possession of their god Marduk, or the female counterpart of Marduk, which was referred to as Ishtar, they were receiving and transmitting divine words in an altered state of mind. And in that particular state, they would go into an uncontrollable frenzy, and their speech would become ecstatic. In other words, they were speaking in tongues. So that's the very first historical evidence of the miraculous gift of tongues being given. Now, continuing with quote number one. The particular tongues that these ecstatic Babylonian prophets or prophetesses were speaking were not languages that could be understood. They were non-language utterances, also called unknown tongues. And since no one can understand their ecstatic speech, then the Babylonian priests declared that it had to be the tongues of the gods. No one could understand it, so it had to be from the gods. And then the priests tried their best to decipher or to interpret what the gods were supposedly communicating through these tongue speakers. So if no one could understand what the prophets of Babylon were saying, then the priests stepped in and tried to interpret what they were saying. So in other words, they were guessing at what was being communicated by the gods. But it wasn't just in Babylon where these unknown tongues were being manifested. From Evangelical Dictionary of Theology, page 1100, by G.R. Osborne, under Speaking in Tongues section, quote, "There are records of ecstatic speech and the like in Egypt in the 11th century B.C. So it wasn't just in Babylon, but it was also in Egypt where this type of ecstatic speech, this unknown tongue speaking, was occurring. And there have been other recorded and documented instances of such miraculous unknown tongue speaking in both ancient as well as in modern times in the following religious areas. Greek priests and priestesses were speaking in unknown tongues. Shamans and medicine men were speaking in unknown tongues. African tribes, Tibetan monks, Hudson Bay Eskimos, North Borneo pagans, even an Islamic saint was recorded speaking in unknown tongues. So these occurrences of tongue speaking among these pagan groups were not the tongues of known languages, such as what God gave through the Spirit, but were of unknown languages, unknown tongues. Now, if you look at quote number two, the gift of tongues that was being manifested among all these pagan groups was not the same type of tongues that came from the God of heaven. And so you can see that if it didn't come from God, it had to come from the devil, and thus it was a counterfeit of the true gift that came from God. And the devil is continuing to manifest this counterfeit gift of tongue speaking in unknown languages among more than just these groups of pagans that we read about in history. So the miracle of the true gift of tongues was that God's people could speak existing known languages that they had never studied or learned before, so that their foreign listeners could recognize and understand the gospel message. So then if people today were really speaking in the true gift of tongues that came from God, then a person would suddenly be able to speak the gospel message in the language of the French, or in Spanish, or in Russian, or is Icelandic. And there would be these French, or Spanish, or Russian, or Icelanders that would be in the group that could understand the languages being spoken and come to comprehend the gospel message of Jesus Christ that much more easily. But when you look around the religious groups today that are speaking in tongues, you'll find that the tongues they are speaking are not in languages that individuals in the audience could understand and then be able to be benefited by the gospel truth. But the vast majority do not speak in known languages. And here's an example of some of the words that individuals speak in these unknown tongues. And the following is from someone that was speaking in an unknown tongue that was recorded and then transcribed. And this is what this person was saying. Quote, prowl, pray, prode, pa, palisite, pa, pau, poo, pee, telly, teratata, ta, terra, ti, ttt, vol, verti, voom, eli, liti, ledi, lutu, singe, 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 imba, imba, imma. That's just a small section of what they were speaking. And you can see that this is not any language at all. It's gibberish. It's like a child first learning how to talk and they just start rambling on words, right? But it really has no meaning. So that's some But that's an example of someone speaking in an unknown tongue in this modern tongue movement of today. And so this shows that the so-called unknown tongue speaking is just like with the pagans. And thus it has nothing to do with the true gift of tongues that comes from God. It's just a counterfeit tongues that the devil has possessed these individuals and is speaking through them. But yet these individuals believe that they are being blessed with the true gifts from the Holy Spirit of God. So then how do you reach them? They believe when they're speaking these languages that they believe that it comes from God, that they're speaking the tongues of the gods, just like the pagans believed. So how do you get them to recognize they're not? If you look at quote number three, many today, just like what was happening in the church of the Corinthians, have spoken in this counterfeit type of tongues. And many do not realize that it's not the true gift that's spoken in the Bible. These people truly love the Lord. And they thought that this is what God desired them to do. And so God in mercy has winked at the times of their ignorance in this matter. He condemns no one for their honest mistakes, but now God commandeth all men and women everywhere to repent, as we're told in Acts 17, verse 30. Each and every one of us are going to be judged by the light that we have received and by the use we've made of that light. And in mercy, the Lord allows correction and instruction to come to his people because he loves them dearly and doesn't want to see them deceived and then lost. So God tells each one of us in Ezekiel 18:23, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord? And not that he should return from his ways and live." And God also tells us in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." So God in mercy is reaching out to every single one of his followers that have found themselves involved in the false gift of tongues or in any other error or false doctrine. God comes to those individuals, to all of us, and desires that we return from our wrong ways so that we may then put our feet in the true way of God, in the truth, and find life. And God comes to us reproving us, rebuking us, and even chastening us so that we might recognize the wrong we're involved in and repent and then choose the right path. But many believe that all supernatural manifestations have to come from God. But this is actually one of the most dangerous views to hold because it opens your mind up to any deception that the devil can put upon you as long as it can be classed supernatural. Now, if you look at quote number four, it has already been shown that there are historical evidences where supernatural manifestations have occurred among heathen nations among heathen religions, where they have spoken in tongues that clearly did not come from God. It came from the devil. It has also been clearly shown from historical sources that the devil can possess individuals and speak through them. So for this reason, the Bible gives us very clear warnings of this supernatural occurrence. We're told in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits whether they are from God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We're also told in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So in the latter times, in the days in which we are now living, there's going to be seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that will be so prevalent that individuals will be led astray. So this means that we must test every supernatural manifestation, every spirit that professes to be of God, every doctrine that professes to be founded in the scripture. We must test it to see if it really comes from God or not. So just because an event or an occurrence such as unknown tongue speaking takes place does not mean that it comes from God, because the devil can also give the gift of tongues. We're told in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So Paul here, in the same counsel that he gives to the church of Corinth that was having problems with the counterfeit gifts of tongues, Paul says that the devil himself can be transformed into an angel from heaven to deceive. So this reveals to us that we cannot go by what we see. We cannot go by how we feel. We cannot go by what we think. We have to not trust to our senses in order to determine if something is true or not, is from God or not. Because the devil can so disguise himself to appear as a glorious angel of light, and all his agents can appear as the ministers of righteousness. So it would be the worst thing that we could do to test if something is from God or not based on how we feel about it, or what we saw take place, or how we think about it. The only safe guide, the only safe way to test, is by God's word of truth. Look at quote number 5. The devil plays upon the ever-changing emotions of millions of sincere people today. And he can trick you and he can trick me into believing that what we saw was real and was not a deception, when all it was trickery, sleight of hand. So we must test and prove every spirit, every messenger, every message, every supernatural manifestation, to see if it's really from God or not. And God tells us in Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So we're to test everything to the law and to the testimony, the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. And if it doesn't agree with the Bible or the testimony of Jesus, then it's not from God. God's spirit will always work and teach in accordance with God's law and Bible truth. The Holy Spirit will never do anything contrary to the Bible, because the Spirit is the author of the Bible, and it's the Spirit of truth. So the Spirit will not do anything contrary to the Bible. The Spirit will always work and teach in accordance with the law of God and the truth of Scripture. God's law is actually the foundation of his government. It's the transcript of his character. And God has declared that he will never alter his law. You can find that in Psalms 89, verse 34, and Luke 16, verse 17. So God will never change his character. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change or alter his law. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then if a spiritualistic manifestation occurs that is not in harmony with God's law, and it's out of harmony with Scripture, then there is no light of God in it. And the Scripture doesn't say in Isaiah 8:20 that there's some light in them. It says there's no light in them. So then it doesn't matter how wonderful it may feel. It doesn't matter how real it may have looked. It doesn't matter how high their profession may be. If it's not in accordance with God's law and his inspired word of truth, then there is absolutely no light in it. This means that it's a false spiritualistic manifestation from the devil, and it cannot be trusted. So this one test alone actually exposes the fallacy of hundreds and thousands of spiritualistic manifestations in tongue speaking today. And it proves that God's Holy Spirit is not the power behind it. If you look at quote number 6. God will only send his Holy Spirit to those who are keeping his commandments. He will not send his Holy Spirit to give spiritualistic manifestations to those who are breaking God's commandments. We're told in Acts 5, verse 32, the Holy Spirit whom God hath given to them that obey him. Let those words sink in, dear ones. If you look at quote number 7, there are multitudes who are really using counterfeit tongues, and they have tried to substantiate their claim that they were doing and speaking what came from God because of all the miracles and healings that accompanied the unknown tongue speaking manifestation. So because of the connected healings that occurred while unknown tongues were being spoken, this has been used to claim that it was really the true gift of tongues from God, even though no one could understand it. But once again, we must investigate from the scripture to see whether miracles are a valid test to use in order to determine whether something came from God or from the devil. Are miracles a valid test to use? Let's see. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 to 10. And then shall that wicked be revealed, after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So this shows us that it's not safe to trust in miracles, since we have been specifically warned that the devil will bring forth counterfeit signs and lying wonders in order to try and deceive God's people. So if you use these miracles that came from the devil to say that the counterfeit tongue speaking or other manifestations of a supernatural nature were from God, you would be greatly misled and you would be wrong in that assumption. We're also told in Revelation 13, verse 13, and Revelation 16, verse 14, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So here we see that the devil and his angels will work miracles. They will bring forth signs and deceptive wonders in these last days. And all of these are designed to deceive and mislead God's people from the truth. So then this means that just because a church or just because a person exhibits supernatural workings like tongues, or being slain in the spirit, or healing various diseases, does not mean that God's Holy Spirit was involved in all of that at all. Because the devil and his evil angels can also work miracles. So we can't trust to miracles as proof that God was involved. Now, if you look at quote number 8. The Bible reveals that the most important work of the Holy Spirit is not to manifest himself through miracles of healing, or through the gift of tongues, like many people claim today. But the most important work of the Holy Spirit is to lead you and me into all truth. In John 16, verse 13, we're told, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So then the work and function of the Holy Spirit is to guide God's people into correctly understanding the truths that are found in God's inspired word. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He leads and guides you into all truth. He upholds the truth before you. That's John 14, verse 17, and John 15, verse 26. So if there should be a spiritual manifestation from God's Spirit in our midst, it would be for the purpose of instructing God's people with the truth and not allowing them to remain in error. When the true gift was given, they're recorded in Acts. If you look at all three instances, the gift of tongues from the Spirit was so that the gospel could be communicated to those who didn't know it, or that the truth could be established in those that were lacking in that particular area. It was never given without someone being instructed into the truth. It's the same today, dear ones. Now, the Bible also tells us that God gives the gift of prophecy in order to guide his people into the truth. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12:28 and in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 to 16, that God gives the gifts of pastors to his people, the gift of evangelists, of apostles, etc., in order to teach his people the truth. So God would give the gift of tongues to be able to communicate the truth to those who would not otherwise be able to understand it. And this is because the truth sets you free in Jesus Christ. And then Jesus sets you free from sin and death. So then everything hinges upon the truth reaching the people. Without the truth, they wouldn't be set free from error. They wouldn't be led to Jesus. Jesus wouldn't be able to set them free from sin or to set them free from dying. So everything hinges upon the truth reaching the people. But the devil also understands this point. So then the gifts that the devil would give would be just the opposite. They would not lead and guide God's people into the truth. They would not seek to free them from error, but would keep them in falsehood. So then the counterfeit gift of tongues would not be able to communicate the truth to anyone, which would also then keep them in darkness. The counterfeit gift of tongues would not be able to be understood or interpreted by anyone, and thus would benefit no one. It would be a waste of time. It would just keep them occupied without being benefited by the truth. So if what we are saying is not understood by our listeners, then it would be no different than if we were speaking into the air without anyone listening. What benefit would occur? And of course, the answer is no one would be benefited. It would be a waste of time. And Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11. If I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. No one is benefited. And the entire point of speaking is to communicate. And it would be of no value whatsoever for us to speak with someone if they didn't know what we were saying to them. So there is no value in speaking in tongues without you or your listeners understanding what's being spoken. Unknown babbling, unknown tongue speaking does not communicate anything. And so this shows that the vast majority of modern tongue speaking today is not from God at all, because it does not abide by the instructions, by the tests that are found in his word of truth. And dear ones, it is very dangerous to submit yourself to the working of any spirit that does not come from God. And so the Holy Spirit is not giving his approval to what is so unprofitable and disorderly among the Corinthians at the time. And neither is the Holy Spirit working in the modern tongue-speaking churches of today. And you know, if these churches have the real Pentecost experience like the apostles had, then existing languages would be spoken that would benefit the listeners. And to speak in unknown tongues where no one is benefited is a counterfeit of the devil. But some will counter, if you look at quote number 9, some will counter that speaking in unknown tongues or in an uninterpreted language is just the person speaking or praying unto God themselves and not to men. And then they'll quote 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2 and 14. But God is the creator of all languages, so then God understands all languages. So then why would you really need to speak to God or pray to God in another language that neither you or anyone else could understand or interpret, when you can speak and pray to God in your own language? Why does it have to be an unknown language? And besides this, Paul was very explicit in commanding those that were speaking in unknown or uninterpreted languages to be quiet and to stop speaking. We're told in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27 to 28, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, and if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. So the only way that we can be safe in these last days, when deception is so prevalent and the devil is working miracles in so many different ways, the only way to be safe is to be a diligent studier of the Bible for yourself, and then to live by every word that you read, and to test all spiritual manifestations by this inspired word of truth. So study the Bible for yourselves, live by the truths that you read, and test everything by this word of truth. It's the only way to be safe and avoid being deceived. Now, if you look at quote number 10, but what if in reading God's word, we see that it conflicts with what we believe? What are we to do then? Do we believe the Bible? Or do we continue believing the way we've done in the past? That's the real question. And Jesus himself foretold the words that will be spoken to those who choose to follow their own ways, to keep believing the way that they have instead of following the word of God. He says the very words that's going to be spoken to them. It's found recorded in Matthew 7, verse 21 to 3. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And there's also going to be many who have prophesied, and many who have cast out devils, and many who have done miracles, many who have spoken in tongues. But Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. And what's the reason why? Because they were involved in the deceptive counterfeit of the devil, and they did not keep all of God's commandments, but they continued to work iniquity. So if you want to avoid hearing these terrible words spoken against yourself and losing salvation, then you must be following and doing God's will. You must be keeping all of his commandments out of love for him, because that is what you have read in the word of truth. We're told in John 14, verses 15 to 16, verse 21, verse 26, and John 15, verse 10. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We're also told in Revelation 22, verses 14 to 15, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So there's only two groups in the world at the end of time, there's the group who loves the truth and they keep God's commands. There's also a group who loves a lie and breaks God's commandments. There's only two groups. If you love God, then you will follow him. If you don't love God, then you will follow the devil. It's the only two groups you can be a part of. Jesus has given the truth to set you free from error so that you won't love a lie. And then you can be saved. You won't be without the city. You'll be within the city. That's what the whole Bible has been given for. For you to see God's love, Christ's love, his desire to set you free so that you may love him in return, become set free, and then follow the truth forever. No other book but the Bible can lead you in that pathway. All the other books that the devil has caused to be written lead you to love a lie and lose salvation. So in this study on the gift of tongues, we've seen that the modern tongue-speaking movement that many are involved in today, especially among the charismatic and the evangelical churches, actually fails on the test of God's word. So the Bible spotlight has revealed the modern tongue-speaking movement of today to be a counterfeit tongues, a fake tongues, and a lie that was sent by the devil to fool people into accepting false doctrines and losing eternal life. But the God of love has mercy for his honest people. He does not want to see any of them deceived by a counterfeit of the devil and lost. So in order to save all who will be saved, God calls all of his true followers who may find themselves connected with any of these churches, any of these groups that speak non-language tongues, or may find themselves in any other movements which are breaking some or all of God's law. God tells them to do something specific. We look at quote number 11 in Revelation 18 verses 4 and 5. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. In other words, probation's closed, her cup is filled. And God hath remembered her iniquities. So this is God's command in order to save your life. Will you choose to follow God's merciful and loving call out of the churches, out of all groups that are not following God's commandments? Or will you cling to a lie because you love it more than following God? So who do you love, dear ones? The God who has sacrificed all to save you from error, from deception, from sin, and from death? Or the counterfeit God who loves himself and desires you to be destroyed along with him in the lake of fire? I pray that you will recognize the difference between the two and that you will choose to follow a God of love instead of deception, a God of truth and without iniquity instead of a God of the air, no substance, and the father of lies. And this is my prayer. Praise God for his wonderful words of truth that set you and me free. And in Jesus, we are free indeed. Our closing song is Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of love. Similarless to the loving God, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel calls, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify us forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Amen. Jesus wants to sanctify us. And the only way for that holiness to occur in your life is through the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. May we allow the Savior to sanctify us and allow the Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. Please join with me in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for sending the Holy Spirit to inspire holy men and women of old to write down the words of truth. Thank you, Father, for also sending Jesus to show each human being that it is possible to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's possible to follow the truth in every aspect and become a child of light, a child of the day, a child of God. And thank you, Father, for also preserving these inspired words and allowing them to be written in a language that we understand, and for preventing the devil through the Catholic Church and other areas from keeping your written word from being obtained and read by ourselves, for ourselves. Thank you for making thy word so readily available, even though there's so many different attempts at altering it, of changing the words, of paraphrasing it and taking away the substance of the truth. There are so many different versions of the scripture out there. Thank you for preserving thy word and having it readily available in the King James Version of the Bible. And I pray, Father, that you'll continue to pour your Spirit upon us, and Spirit continue to lead and guide us into all truth. And thank you for the grace, the strength, and the courage to change what we believe or how we act, and to follow thy word. We pray that you will especially be with those that are in error, believing it to be true, that are speaking in the counterfeit gift of tongues, and they think it's the true, that are breaking your commandments and think that they receive your approval, that are following doctrines of devils and think that they're on the straight, upward, narrow path that leads to life. And we pray that thy Spirit may come to them in mighty power to trouble their heart, to get them to investigate, to not be content, trouble their mind with the belief that what they are doing is wrong and displeasing to God, and lead them to search the scripture for themselves, to test what they believe or how they're acting to thy word of truth, and break the deception that's upon them. Set them free. Let them cling to Jesus and never let him go. And let them follow the Lamb out of the fallen churches, so that they may be with the bridegroom on his way home to the wedding. And thank you, Savior, for coming again and taking all of the guests and your bride home to the wedding. Help us to be a part of this blessed company, to be with our Savior forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. praise God again for his wonderful words of life. Are there any questions, any thoughts, comments, testimonies, songs, anything that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Elder Rock, how come, you know how you hear that the devil doesn't have power to do anything or we give him the power? But as I'm listening, he can work miraculous things and have deception. How is that possible?
Well, he's an angel, and angels have supernatural abilities that humans don't have. So supernatural is anything a human can't do. That makes it supernatural, above nature. So since the devil is an angel, he has abilities beyond what a human can do. So supernatural abilities. And since the devil can possess individuals, the Bible's clear, the demoniacs of Capernaum and the Gadarenes. So you have individuals that can be possessed by the devil. So this means that the devil can control them. The devil can make it appear that they are afflicted with some disease. And then the devil can remove his power and make it appear that the person is healed of that disease. Okay? So since disease comes from the devil, it doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil. God is the healer. The devil causes disease, right? Okay. Since the devil can cause disease, he can remove disease and make it appear that that individual has been healed. To all senses, that person is healed. But it wasn't a healing that came from God. It was a healing that came from the devil. So the devil and his angels can do miracles, supernatural things. And you can't deny that they occurred. You can't deny that the person that was possessed by the devil and then released from his possession has been healed of whatever disease he had. So it can't be denied. And that's why you have to test it. So the minister that healed the individual in front of the cameras at church or in front of the congregation, you can't deny the healing took place. So you have to test what that minister preaches or what that church stands for or the doctrines that go into that particular church's membership. Those things can be tested. And if what they say or what they teach or what they believe does not abide by the test of God's word, then the miracle there most likely did not come from God. So miracles are not a test whether the person that performed them was from God or not. Only God's word is the test. For instance, I don't remember the TV evangelist's name, but this is back in the late 60s, mid 70s, somewhere in that time frame. The evangelistic crusade was being televised and people came up for healing. There was this one mother who brought her infant. the infant had hydrocephalus. The brain was swollen. You could see it. No doubt it had hydrocephalus. The minister prayed, put his hands upon the child, and you could see the swelling of the brain go down to normal. People were claiming this was the great miracle of God. This minister's from God. The church that he's part of needs to be supported with all your means. It could have been Benny Hinn. I don't remember. But when you tested what they believed, what they taught, how the minister acted, it was contrary to God's word. But the miracle that was performed on that infant was used as the proof that this man and his ministry had to be from God and needed your support. When in fact, the minister was not from God, he was preaching falsehood, his church stood for falsehood, and the miracle that was performed could not have come from God. But it was a miracle. So the miracle couldn't be denied. There's television proof of it, right? There's proof that the people in the audience saw it. Because television can be manipulated. But the miracle was not the proof. It's God's word that was the proof. And God's word says that the man that the miracle was performed by and the church and ministry that minister was connected with was out of harmony with God's word. That meant there's no light in them. So they should not have been supported. But that's not the truth they were proclaiming as to why they should be supported. It was the miracle. So you can't trust your eyesight. You saw the miracle. You can't trust your eyesight as being sufficient for what is true or not. You can't trust what you hear. You can't trust how you feel. You can only trust God's word to be the standard between what is true and what is a lie.
I have a quick question, dear Elder. I wanted to know, what is the difference, and I hear in especially the New Testament, between devils, unclean spirits, things like that? I mean, are they all just one and the same thing? Or is it like a virus, like one virus does this and another virus does that? And okay.
Yeah, it's all the devil and his evil angels, no matter how many different names or different categories or different type of things it may be. The devil's a liar. So since he's a liar, you can't trust anything he says. So, for instance, with the deliverance ministry that was pretty big amongst Adventist circles back in the 80s, not so big now, but still out there. And it's not just in Adventist circles, it's also in other churches. Deliverance ministry is based on the fact that every disease comes from the devil, but every specific disease is caused by a specific demon. So if you have a cold, it's because you have the demon of cold. If you have a cancer, is because the demon of cancer. If you have pneumonia, it's because of the demon of pneumonia. And so you have to cast out these specific demons for these specific diseases before you can be healed. So that's in a nutshell the basis of deliverance ministry. But the problem is the devil lies. So why is there only a demon of cold, but the very same demon can't also be the source of another disease? And so then the deliverance minister says, I cast you out, demon of cold, in the name of Jesus. And then the next person comes up that has an infected toe. I cast you out, demon of infection, in the name of Jesus. And then another, it may be the very same demon that's being cast out. And who's to say that the demon is really cast out? That the demon just didn't continue afflicting the individual with that infection in his toe, or with the cold, or with whatever it is. So you can't trust what liars tell you. But yet there's so many people that believe in deliverance ministry. Oh, there's 1,000 different demons that are infecting this person because he's got 1,000 different problems, when it could be just one evil angel that's doing all of that affliction. So why do you need to spend 1,000 different, to say 1,000 different, I cast you out, when it's just one demon? So that's the problem with liars. You can't trust them. So just because a demon said, I'm the demon of infection, and then everybody believes that every particular type of disease is a different demon that specializes in that disease, and that particular demon of that particular disease has to be cast out before that individual could possibly be healed of that particular affliction. It's just nonsense. When the woman that had the affliction for 15 plus years came to Christ, all she had to do was place her faith on him and touch the hem of his garment. Christ didn't have to say, I cast you out, demon of excessive bleeding, in order for that woman to be cured. Christ is the great physician of all diseases. You can come to Christ for any affliction you have, and it's your faith in him that brings healing. It's not your faith that the demon of whatever affliction has to first be cast out before you can be healed by the Savior. That needs to occur. So this whole deliverance ministry places the demons of disease before you can be healed in Jesus Christ. It's another deception. You don't have to go to anyone for healing, especially not to a demon, before you can be cured of whatever affliction you have, or be given grace and strength to endure through whatever affliction you have. You just go directly to Jesus. Don't be misled into believing you have to go to some minister and have some demon cast out before you can go to Jesus and find healing. It's just the devil throwing middlemen in between you and the Savior. So, you can't trust what the devil says. Another, for instance. Some of you have heard of Willard and Bill Santee, two brothers. Both of them got caught up in deliverance ministry back in the early to mid 80s. And I don't remember which brother this particular event occurred at. But they were casting out some demon for some disease. And the possessed individual said, well, why don't you call me out in the name of Christ? So Willard or Bill, I forget, says, I call you out in the name of Jesus. He says, well, why don't you call me out in the name of Christ? So Santee said, okay, I call you out in the name of Christ. And immediately Santee became possessed of the demon that was in that person. Why did he need to call the demon out in the name of Christ? Wasn't the name of Jesus sufficient? Yes. In obeying the command of the demon, Santee became possessed of the demon, of whom a man obeys, his servant he becomes. So you can't trust what the devil says, even if it sounds plausible. You can't trust miracles because the devil can counterfeit them. The only one you can trust is Jesus, 100% of the time, in every situation. You can trust the truth. And praise God for these wonderful words of life. They set you free. Are there any follow-up questions, any further questions on the two topics we discussed? Any other questions that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Please feel free. I just praise God for his word and that we are a day closer to the coming of our Savior. And that brings up this hymn. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home. For the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while. We shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
We will do the work that our hands. In a little while we're going home, and the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little we're going home, in a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows home. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. Little while we're going home.
We will smooth the path for some weary, way-worn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around and influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while.
Little while.
In a little while.
Little while.
We shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home, and no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows fall. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are. In a little while we're going home.
Amen. Were they closer to getting off of this wicked world of deception and snares? One day closer to paradise, eternal life without any deception, without any sickness, disease, sorrow, sadness, crying, or death. What a wonderful time that will be. Brother Joshua, you had your mic up, your brother, something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'd just like to sing the hymn that I haven't sung in a while. It is Yield Not to Temptation. It might tie along with what we were reading earlier. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully onward. Dark passion subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God giveth a crown. Through faith we will conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you. Come for strength and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
Amen. Amen. It does indeed go along with what we were talking about today, dear brother. And praise God for his grace and strength that enables us to resist temptation and to follow the Lord. Amen. So thank you, dear brother. Are there any other songs, any other requests, testimonies, questions or thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? And Mizpah to you too, dear sister and family, and have a wonderful remaining Sabbath, a blessed new week, and looking forward to having you in fellowship again soon. Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Big hug, Jeannie. Love you and your family.
Looking forward to being in fellowship with you again soon, dear ones. Thank you so much for your prayers and your thoughts and support. And our prayers and thoughts are with you as well, dear ones. Looking forward to growing in grace, becoming that better Christian, seeking to save the lost, and coming back into fellowship soon. This coming Wednesday, again, is going to be canceled, but the following Wednesday we'll be back on schedule. So don't come to this Wednesday night meeting. It's not going to be available. But next Friday and Sabbath, there will indeed be fellowship. So looking forward to seeing you next Friday and next Sabbath, dear ones. Until then, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.